This is Leonard Nimoy. The spotter helicopter flits across the rose and blue summer sky of the polar regions in search of leviathan prey. The most tremendous creatures the world has ever known are not extinct. Not yet. The peaceful whales, twice the size of the largest dinosaur ever unearthed, were not always so wantonly slaughtered by man. Whales once ruled the oceans, fearing nothing, neither great white shark nor man. They once breathed freely, mated, and suckled their young with milk. They once grew. Their persecution began less than 200 years ago. Not even a tiny tear in the eye of carbon-dated time. But enough time for man to push their species to the brink of extinction.
Spotter 1 to ship. Sector 7 is empty. I'm now commencing sweep of Sector 6.
The helicopter will radio for a catcher boat when he makes whale contact. And the catcher boat will respond bearing death at the end of an explosive-tipped harpoon. The whales have learned to sound, dive deep at the approach of a catcher boat's engines, they must surface shortly for air. Violent death is inevitable, for the whales have small chance of evading the spotter helicopter. This is the story of one blue whale's revenge.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week. Brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, The Whale Savers by Bruce Martin. Our stars, Tommy Cook, Joan McCall, and True Boardman.
Seagulls circle the sky, high above the international queue of ships docked in England's thriving Liverpool harbor. One ship, the Requiem, completes its preparations for a voyage different from that of any other ship in the harbor. The Requiem's voyage has but one purpose, to save whales. And that young man with the duffel bag slung over his shoulder, walking up the Requiem's gangplank, intends to join the crusade, one way or another.
Hold on, mate. You're boarding the wrong ship.
This is the Requiem, isn't it?
It is.
Well, then I've got the right ship.
Captain Sutherland didn't mention that a Yank or anybody else would be signing aboard today.
Well, maybe Captain Sutherland told the first mate to expect me and the first mate forgot to mention it to you.
I am the first mate.
Oh. I think you've got a delivery down there.
Yes, it's our last load of fresh vegetables. Oh, button up, love. I know you're there.
Look, the captain is expecting me.
All right. I can watch you the whole way up the bridge from here.
Keep one eye on my stuff, will you? Everything I own is in that duffel bag.
Come in.
Captain Sutherland, I'm Mark Grogan.
Oh, you. How did you get aboard my ship?
Well, your first mate sent me up. I wrote you in my letters that I'd be dropping by for an interview.
Yes, I stopped answering your letters after the first two. I have no need for a photojournalist.
Well, I wrote you I'd be willing to sign on in any capacity. Deckhand, coal stoker, cook, you name it, just for the experience.
Whatever educational training you've had obviously failed to explain the concept of the word no.
Captain, you can't say no. The Requiem is setting out on an adventure I just have to document. There's so little true adventure left in the world today.
Mr. Grogan, you are not welcome aboard the Requiem. Please leave. Immediately.
As I went down the stairs from the bridge to the deck, I remember how much I hated Captain Sutherland for standing between me and the story that would make my professional reputation. Later, a great blue whale would radically change my selfish attitude. But that was later. While I was walking down those stairs, I had almost given up the story until I overheard the conversation of two crew members walking ahead of me. In an instant, I realized they were my ticket aboard the Requiem.
But, Sophie, you must take my turn. Always there are grumbles when I cook.
I'm not grumbling.
You have not tasted my cooking yet. I grumble while I cook, and everybody else grumbles when they taste my cooking.
Nigel, I don't enjoy cooking either. But since our galley cook decided marriage was more fun than spending 3 months at sea saving whales, we all have to take our turns.
Excuse me. I couldn't help overhearing your conversation. You see, I just applied for the cook's position.
Oh, this is wonderful news.
Yes, my name's Mark Grogan.
And I am Nigel Olson, a resident marine biologist aboard the Requiem. And this beautiful young lady standing here beside me is...
Soshi Nakamura. Anyone who reads a newspaper would recognize your face, Miss Nakamura.
You have a good memory, Mr. Grogan. I haven't been in the public eye for 2 years. But you were saying Captain Sutherland has signed you on as the Requiem's cook?
Actually, he turned me down.
Why? Do you have no experience?
Well, I worked as a short order cook my last 3 years at college, and I can cook from a cookbook, which is no small talent.
Why, compared to the rest of us, this young man is practically a chef.
Did the captain say why he didn't hire you?
I think it's because I'm not a committed conservationist like the rest of you.
Then why do you want to sail with us?
Of the adventure. I don't want to put my foot in my mouth, but I do have ambitions of writing someday.
What kind of writing do you do?
Story writing. I hope to be a novelist.
But the pay is small aboard this ship.
I'd work for room and board. I want this experience that bad.
Sophie, I think Mr. Grogan would be a welcome asset.
I agree. Let's go talk to the captain.
You must be some charmer to bring this impressive delegation with you, Mr. Grogan.
I'm just persistent, Captain.
Yeah, that you are. Well, Soshi, Nigel, you're certain you both feel Mr. Grogan would fit in aboard the Requiem?
Of course.
A galley cook would allow your crew to concentrate on their duties instead of worrying about who cooks next.
Yeah. And the fact that he plans to write about our voyage doesn't bother either one of you.
And Mark told us about his writing.
Very well, then. Now, before you assign ship's papers, Mr. Grogan, you should understand that any dereliction of duty is grounds for immediate dismissal. I'll drop you off at the nearest port.
I understand.
Of course, when we reach the Antarctic, there will be no nearest port. No ports at all.
We're sailing to the South Pole?
Yes. We've had a first-hand report, a chip, that the Deimos and a refrigeration ship are headed into Antarctic waters to hunt blue whales.
What? Blue whales are protected by the International Whaling Commission.
Nigel, why are you upset? You know pirate whalers don't recognize any of the International Whaling Commission's laws or quotas.
When I am no longer outraged by illegal whaling, then the time is near when all whales may become extinct.
I sign here, Captain.
That's right. Soshi, please radio the harbor authorities that Mr. Mark Grogan has been officially added to the crew.
Certainly, Captain. I have the latest weather forecast, Captain.
Good.
And I brought the harbor authorities' confirmation on Mark Grogan's listing.
Yeah. How's the weather look?
Cold and clear.
Ah, that's what I like to hear. You know, you really surprised me walking in here with that Grogan. I didn't sign him on because I thought the last person you'd want to sail with would be a journalist. Then you suddenly...
Mark didn't tell us he was a journalist.
You said you knew all about his writing. He sees a big story in our confrontation with the Deimos.
I see. I can't believe how he misrepresented himself to Nigel and me.
Too late to do anything about it now. Grogan signed his papers. I think he sees this voyage as his big chance to make a name for himself.
Well, I won't help him. You can tell him that the first chance you get.
Why don't you tell him yourself? It'll have more bite coming from you.
Don't worry. I will.
The conservationist ship, Requiem, maintains its southerly heading through the cold Atlantic. She's bound for even colder waters in the Antarctic and a high seas confrontation with the pirate whaler, Deimos. But the Requiem's quest is not exactly a harmonious adventure for the entire crew.
Soshi, he surprised me. I'm looking for an egg beater. If you're here for a preview of tonight's dinner, it's breaded filet of sole.
I can't believe your nerve, Mr. Grogan.
Whoa. What's got into you?
Quit playing so innocent. You lied to Nigel and me so we would help you get the cook's job aboard the Requiem.
I didn't lie about anything.
You lied when you neglected to tell us you were a reporter.
Oh, okay. Maybe I wasn't totally candid when you asked me what kind of writing I do. But I'm not here working on an assignment for anybody. I'm an aspiring journalist and photographer.
Just be sure to leave my name out of your stories. I told you I'm not in the public eye anymore, and I want to keep it that way.
Soshi, 2 years ago, you were the most photographed, the most talked about model in New York. You still have a large public out there interested in you. You could be the story of the year.
The story of the year is being killed by explosive harpoons in the oceans. As for me, I just want to be an ordinary person again. Understand?
Okay, you call the shots.
I meant what I said. Stay away from me.
I bet most whalers are just ordinary men earning a living, supporting families.
Ordinary men don't hunt blue whales.
I wasn't talking about pirate whalers, Smithy.
The sad part, Mark, is that while we whale preservationists are advocating such things as population dynamics and stock assessments are in the whalers' best interests.
The only trouble is the whalers don't believe us.
What do you think, Soshi? Come and join us.
Smithy and Nigel have been educating me on our big fish of the sea.
You use the word fish, Mr. Grogan, the way the whalers do. Whales are mammals, like you and me.
Pardon my semantics.
Oh, we're a bit touchy this evening, Soshi. Must be those bad whale dreams you get.
The whales always die in Soshi's dreams. They've recurred ever since she was a young girl.
What would make a young girl dream about dead whales?
I suppose if I don't tell you, Nigel will.
Well, now, if you prefer, my dear, we can change the subject.
No, it's all right. When I first moved to New York with my father, a large envelope was left outside our apartment door. Inside the envelope were horrible pictures of dead whales. Whales killed by catcher boats my father owned.
It was conservationists who left the pictures for her father.
Did you show the pictures to your father?
Yes, he tore them up.
Sashi's father is still a major stockholder in the Japanese whaling industry.
Now I understand why you're aboard the Requiem.
Oh, do you?
Yes, I think I do. Tell me, why do the pirate whalers go to so much trouble to hunt the blue whales?
Greed. That's why. Greed. Blue whales yield twice as much oil and meat as their closest cousin, the fin whale.
Yes, there's great prestige, too, when a whaler kills a blue. Blue whales are clever and difficult to catch.
What are you writing there in the dark?
Just jotting down a few notes.
I wish I would have been warned I'd be quoted.
But they're only reference notes and facts. I'm not quoting anybody.
I like not having to worry what I say with my friends in private. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Everything I do upsets that lady.
Easy, mate. You're letting her get under your skin. That's trouble.
No, not me, Smithy. I'm not interested in trouble. Of course I was lying. I knew I needed Soshi's interview to sell my story. The more she ignored me, the more interested in her I became. I didn't like the situation, but I accepted it as a hazard of the job. When the Requiem reached the coast of Argentina, I was on the bridge calmly discussing food spoilage with the captain.
Well, someone obviously forgot to double-check the seal on the flour container. Otherwise, a week's worth of flour wouldn't have spoiled.
Okay, I'll see that it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, good. You do realize a food shortage could delay our pursuit of the Demas. I hope you're a better journalist than you are a galley cook.
That's photojournalist, and I am.
Captain Sutherland?
Yes, Soshi, what is it?
I just received this telex message out of Buenos Aires. It's from the Demas.
Well, now we know that the Demas knows we're coming.
Yeah, please read the telex, Soshi.
Buenos Aires, October 2nd. Attention, Captain Requiem and crew. The Demas sails under the international laws of the sea. We will defend our right to fish sea lanes with force.
The Demas possesses a peculiar view of international law.
What are they expecting us to do when we find them? Start a war?
It would appear that the Demas is prepared to fight one.
Requiem's pursuit of the pirate whaler Deimos has taken her past Cape Horn, the tip of South America. Cape Horn's weather is recognized as the most violent in the world. 1,000 miles of gale-force winds lie ahead of the Requiem before she reaches the South Georgia Islands, where the great blue whales feed on the abundant accumulations of floating mollusks amid towering icebergs. Here in these primordial Antarctic summer seas, the pirate whalers make their kills.
Well, Mark, your galley is the only warm place on the ship in this inn.
Come on in and share the warmth, Nigel.
Oh, thank you. The Requiem is a small ship, Mark. Since the last week, you're not happy.
It shows, huh?
Yes. Whenever Sophie enters the room.
Yeah. So she's been crossing my wires, all right. I'd hoped she'd changed her mind and grant me an interview by now, but she hasn't spoken to me since the night the four of us sat out on the deck talking about whales.
I think so she forms a new opinion of you.
Well, she should know I wouldn't write anything about her she wouldn't want people to read. Well, maybe a little item.
She needs time.
She's had almost 3 weeks to change her mind about me.
3 weeks. Another 12. We've not yet even sighted the Deimos.
You're right. I won't press Soshi. Nigel, are you all right?
I hit my shoulder. And you?
Nah, I'm fine. But lunch will have to be scraped up off the floor.
Listen. No onions. We stopped dead in the water.
What happened?
Possibly we struck an iceberg.
I'll grab my camera. Let's go have a look.
Blast! That hurts!
Watch Smithy's leg. Careful carrying him below.
Soshi, what happened to Smithy?
Smithy broke his ankle in a collision.
Oh, poor guy. He won't like being laid up. What did we hit? An iceberg?
It might have been a submerged iceberg. No one's confirmed anything yet.
Captain, look! To port, off the bow.
Sweet saints alive.
Will you get a load of the size of that whale?
Incredible. I've never seen a blue whale to equal it.
These tail flukes are like the wingspan of a small airplane.
He's sounded now.
I hope he wasn't hurt in the collision.
Are you saying we struck that blue whale?
That's right. We must have caught him napping.
That whale stopped this 600-ton ship dead in the water?
Whales sleep very close to the surface. Their power and strength are immense.
Look! The blue surface. There, off the port bow.
Get your camera ready, Mark.
Look! The blue's blowing right off our bow.
His blow shot 20 feet into the air.
I snapped a few shots for posterity. How big is that leviathan?
The largest recorded blue whale was 36 meters.
Well, this blue is certainly in that class.
How does that translate into feet, Nigel?
More than 100 feet long and over 150 tons in weight.
Wow!
The blue whale is swimming around the ship. I doubt the collision hurt him.
Hey, is it normal for a whale to circle a ship?
Blue whales do possess a natural curiosity, but circling ships is a bit unusual.
A bit? He's changed course.
He's headed straight for our bow.
He's going to ram us. We stood transfixed with the wind in our ears and our hearts pounding wildly as the great blue whale closed on the ship. 200 yards. 100 yards. 60 yards. It was over in a matter of seconds. The great blue hurled his body out of the water. I swear the wind and my pounding heart both stopped at the sight of the great blue whale suspended in midair. It was as if we were the only witnesses to a mystical event. The greatest photograph of my career, and I didn't even know my camera was in my hands.
He's 40 meters at least, Mike, or more.
That's almost 150 feet, Mark.
My God!
He sounded again.
What an incredible sight that was.
The blue threw himself right out of the water, and I forgot to take his picture. During the next 2 days, when the Requiem passed the South Georgia Islands, I found my thoughts continually returning to the great blue whale. On the third day after we collided with the Great Blue, we found the floating slaughterhouse. A gutted whale was strapped on either side of the ship, and the smell of death hung heavy in the cold Antarctic air. So that's the Deimos.
That ship there isn't the Deimos. That's a refrigeration ship.
Whale meat rots within 48 hours. Without the refrigeration ship, the Deimos would be out of business.
At least the pirate whalers can't afford factory ships. That would be a real nightmare. The whole whale, bone and all, can be processed on a factory ship in half an hour. Bridge.
Captain Sutherland, the captain of the Deimos wishes to speak to you. The Deimos is returning to the refrigeration ship now.
I'll be in the radio room in a moment, Sochi.
Mind if I tag along?
All right. Smithy, you're in charge of the bridge.
Ah, Captain.
This is Dimitrios Papadopoulos, captain of the Deimos.
Captain Sutherland here.
Captain Sutherland, did you receive my telex message?
Oh, yes. The message wishing my crew and me bon voyage.
You will discover I am not a man who jokes.
Do not misjudge me as one either, Captain Papadopoulos.
Tomorrow, when you play your child's game with your rubber rafts, make certain your crew can evade my harpoons. I may miss the whale I'm hunting and seize your toy boat.
The Deimos has broken transmission, Captain.
He sounds serious.
Papadopoulos is insane. Anyone sent overboard in polar waters wouldn't survive 20 minutes.
Who's going out in the raft tomorrow?
Ben Smithy was before he broke his ankle, with a two-man crew. But under the circumstances, I go alone.
But, Captain, how can you go alone? You can't keep your eyes on the whales and the Deimos at the same time.
I've had some experience with pirate whalers. I'm quite capable of doing my own harpoon dodging.
Captain, I didn't sign on as your galley cook just to end up shooting my whale pictures from the Requiem's poop deck.
Are you volunteering to go out on the water with me tomorrow?
Yes. I can operate the radio for you.
That's ridiculous. Whales aren't his cause.
Hey, I'm over 21. Don't tell me what my causes are.
What's going to happen out there tomorrow is no joke. Captain, you could find a better man from the crew than Mr. Brogan to ride with you.
Nobody in your crew wants to be out on that water more than I do tomorrow. I need those close-ups of a Deimos if I'm going to sell the story someday.
Just what I thought. Your cause is good old number one.
Yeah? Well, this will be one time when looking out for number one might save a couple of whales. I'm your man.
All right, Mr. Grogan, it's settled then. Tomorrow, you and I will find out just how serious Captain Papadopoulos is about harpooning two men in a rubber raft.
Leonard Nimoy again, and here's the fourth act of The Whale Savers.
Captain Sutherland had Smithy post a 24-hour watch in case the Deimos attempted a clandestine departure during the night. For all the sleep I got that night, I could have stood the watch myself. So she found me smoking a cigarette in the corridor outside my cabin.
Can't sleep, Mark?
Do I look tired?
No, I guess you don't.
Wait a minute. Let's run up the truce flag one more time. You just called me Mark. What happened to that Mr. Grogan jazz?
I decided Mr. Grogan was too formal to call any man willing to risk his life to save whales, regardless of personal motives.
I told you all along that I'd been after a good feature story.
You did. And I kept my distance from you because I wanted you to discover the real story of the year was the whales, not me.
I'm still hoping they give me an interview.
We could talk now, in your cabin. You see, Mark, my work aboard the Requiem put new purpose in my life. But I wouldn't be honest if I said I didn't occasionally miss the excitement of the social life I led in New York. The fishbowl attention from the media I don't miss.
Does this reporter still bother you?
I like this reporter.
Well, put a point up on the board for me. Sochi, we've been doing a lot of talking.
Of course, you're tired. Maybe I'd better leave.
No. I was just thinking.
About what?
About how nice it would be to kiss you.
Oh, then I will leave.
Oh, I wish this cabin had a carpet. I need something to crawl under.
Why? It was a nice thought.
Yeah, sure. I just got carried away. I don't know what made me think you liked me. I mean, how does it look? I use an interview to make a pass at you.
You weren't being unprofessional because you picked up on my feelings for you.
Now I'm really confused. You don't want me to kiss you, but you're glad I made a pass at you. Is that it?
No. What I'm saying is that under different circumstances, I'm not so sure I would refuse. Mark, tonight's the first time since we met that I see something in you I like. You've changed somehow.
Well, before I was only interested in making a name for myself. Now I'm concerned about saving whales.
I think that's great. What we need is time to get to know one another.
Like maybe on a date when we get back to England, huh?
Yes, I'd like that.
And in the meantime, we're just a couple of amiable shipmates aboard the Requiem.
That's the way I'd like our relationship to be for now, okay?
Okay. Okay. Good night, Soshi. If Soshi had hoped our conversation would help take my mind off the Demas, she succeeded. I spent the rest of the night thinking about her.
Captain, this bounce back on the sonar screen shows what looks like a small group of whales. Two or three at most.
Could be whales or floes from a stray iceberg.
Well, we have entered iceberg waters.
Whatever it is, the Demas must be picking it up, too.
See how the bounce back pattern varies a bit? I think we found whales.
Well, Mark, you're just in time. So she thinks she has a bounce back on the sonar indicating whales nearby.
Smithy has our raft ready.
It is a whale bounce back. The Demas is headed for the bounce back reading.
We better shove off, Mark. We have to beat the Demas to those whales.
Well, you cannot run the Demas in your motorized raft.
My camera's all packed, Captain. You lead.
Mark, be careful. You take care too, Captain Sutherland.
Under Smithy's expert direction, it took the crew only 5 minutes to get our raft into the water and the captain and me over the side.
This outboard's a bit of a puzzle to get started, but once she catches, there's no quitting it until she runs out of gas.
Captain Sutherland, do you read me?
Soshi, this is Mark. We read you just fine.
Nigel and I will keep in contact over the portable radio from the bridge.
That's the ticket.
Soshi, we're off.
Good luck to both of you.
My camera's viewfinder was welded to my eye as Captain Sutherland steered straight for the Demas. I felt ridiculously small as we sailed alongside the 780-ton catcher boat at 15 knots, like a gnat buzzing the head of a lion. Your steering is too close to the Demas.
I'm flaunting our courage.
Well, you better ease up, Captain. I'd like to save a little courage for another day.
We're fighting a war of wills. Psychology and speed are our only weapons.
A harpoon can put a big hole in your psychology. Let's play down the intimidation stuff.
Not on your life.
I was just about to remind Captain Sutherland that I was already risking my life when we passed the catcher boat's bow. 12 feet above us, with one hand on the harpoon launcher, stood Captain Papadoulos. The hate etched across his face made a wonderful close-up through my zoom lens.
On our right there. It's the whale Soshi spotted on the sonar screen.
I see them.
Look, a mother and her calf. The calf swimming alongside his mother.
Under the IWC's laws, that makes the mother an illegal cat.
IWC laws make no difference to the Demas.
Well, what about the calf?
The Demas will spare the calf only because there's no profit in the kill.
For over an hour, Captain Sutherland jockeyed our rubber raft into position behind the fleeing whales. But the chase proved too much for the tiring calf, and the Demas closed to 50 yards, killing distance. Why don't the whales sound again?
The calf's too tired. It's like asking a 4-year-old child to keep pace in an Olympic marathon.
Captain, I can see Papadoulos lining up his harpoon on the mother whale. Huh? Papadoulos is too close to miss at this range. If the mother doesn't abandon her calf, she'll die.
She'll never abandon her calf. Now, hold on for sweet life. I'm moving us in as close as possible to the mother.
Requiem to Lifeline. Lifeline, he's back.
Soshi, who's back? Over.
The Great Blue. Nigel spotted the Great Blue Whale 3,000 yards off your port bow on a 10 o'clock heading.
Yes, I can see him blow now.
The Demas has abandoned the mother and her calf for the Great Blue.
Mark, Nigel's following the Blue through his binoculars. He says the Great Blue just sounded.
That was the first of 12 soundings. For 5 hours, the freezing salt water stung our faces as we blocked the Demas' path to the Great Blue. Captain Papadoulis pursued the Great Blue Whale with fanatical determination. It proved to be the mistake of his life. The Great Blue can't shake the Demas. He's tried every trick he knows.
Papadoulis is too experienced a whaler for the Blue to evade him. Now prepare yourself, Mark. The Blue's blowing again.
I'm already drenched from the last half dozen blows. Captain, the Demas is turning.
Which way?
To starboard. We have to beat Papadoulis into position.
I'll give it my best.
The Demas is gaining on us.
It's a good job of sailing, Mr. Wynn. Papadoulis stayed 10 yards off us on that last turn.
Well, the Blues picked a hell of a time to slow his pace. What's wrong with him?
He's been swimming full tilt for 5 hours. Even a creature his size gets tired.
How close will Papadoulis bring the Demas before he fires?
50 yards. Papadoulis will launch a percentage shot.
And the Demas is about 80 yards in closing.
Yeah.
We've got to help the Blue hold Papadoulis off until dark. He could slip away in the night.
Yeah, the night won't stop the Demas.
Harpoon!
Get your head down! Dear God! The Blue Whale's thrashing.
You said Papadoulis wouldn't fire over 50 yards.
That Papadoulis is a damned lucky shot.
The water's turned crimson around the Blue.
All we can do now is return to the Requiem.
We were 10 feet behind the Blue when Papadoulis fired. It was a perfect shot.
No, not perfect. See where the harpoon entered the Blue?
Behind the flipper.
A bad spot for any whaler. This won't be a fast or an easy kill for the Demas.
When we returned to the Requiem, Soshi met the captain and me with warm blankets and tears in her eyes.
The Great Blue will die now, won't he, Captain?
Soshi, you know whalers seldom lose a harpoon whale.
Here, wrap yourself in these blankets. You two are chilled to the bone.
Thank you, Smithy.
We did everything we could. We really did.
Papadoulis landed a very lucky shot.
I know.
Captain, Nigel would like to speak with you in the radio room. There's hot coffee waiting there, too.
See here on the sonar screen, Captain. Only 5 kilometers due south.
Yeah, that's a frightfully large iceberg. Yeah, I'd prefer to avoid it.
Sir, the Demas. I'll bet the sweetest draft of ale in Liverpool on that one.
Due south is the very direction the Great Blue drags the Demas.
The Great Blue is dragging the Demas now?
Yes, at 8 knots, even with the Demas engines in full reverse.
How's it possible for a harpoon whale to drag 3 times its own weight?
Well, whales display phenomenal strength when they're harpooned.
And this Blue is a phenomenal whale.
We'll be entering the iceberg area ourselves shortly.
I'll have one of the crew establish an iceberg watch on the bow.
Look at that sonar screen. The Great Blue just dragged the Demas into the iceberg area.
Another iceberg dead ahead, Captain.
The course change I just made should take us around this one.
The Demas has managed to evade every iceberg in its path the way we have.
So far, that is.
I imagine the sonar operator aboard the Demas is an extremely disturbed man than all.
Did you hear that?
I heard it.
Could be 2 icebergs colliding nearby.
No. I watched it on the sonar screen. The Demas has struck an iceberg.
The Great Blue did it!
It's as if the Great Blue had planned to drag the Demas into the iceberg area.
No. I rather doubt that, Marsh.
But, Nigel, the Great Blue maintained a due south course throughout the entire hunt until he reached the iceberg area. Then, and only then, did the Great Blue constantly change direction.
Yeah. This is true, but then who would
this
believe...
This is whaling ship Demas! Mayday! Repeat, mayday!
It's Papadoulis. When the Great Blue won his battle, I forgot about the lives of the men aboard the Demas.
We are tacking on water. Come in, Requiem!
Smithy, get to the bridge. Put us on the Demas heading.
Aye, Captain.
Mayday! Mayday! Come in, Requiem!
I'll man the radio, Soshi.
Captain Papadoulis, this is Captain Sutherland. We are maneuvering to answer your mayday now. Repeat. The Requiem has begun immediate rescue operation.
Thank you, Captain Sutherland. For a moment, I feared your ship saved only whales, not whalers.
My crew is not above saving human lives, Captain. Even the lives of pirate whalers.
With bitterness, I thank you.
Captain, what are the odds that the Great Blue's still alive?
I shouldn't imagine his chances are very good. Not with a harpoon in his side.
But it is possible he'll survive.
What do you think, Nigel?
Whales suffer from pneumonia and tumors, skin and teeth infections, even kidney stones. They suffer, adjust, and survive, Mark. I would not be surprised to hear someday of the sighting of a great blue whale with a harpoon in its side.
No corroboration of the Requiem sighting of the great blue whale was ever made. Marine biologists who studied Mark Grogan's detailed photographs drew one conclusion. The harpooning of the great blue whale resulted in its death from loss of blood and from shock. They lamented the lost opportunity to study the largest animal that ever lived. And for a time, the story of the great blue whale's revenge captured the world's imagination. The International Whaling Commission once again opened serious debate on a 10-year whaling moratorium to rebuild the populations of all species, not just those in danger of extinction. But even at the height of this media attention, there remained those uninterested observers with a single question foremost in their minds. Why should I care whether the whales live or die? Possibly the best answer to this question was offered 100 years ago by an American named Henry David Thoreau when he said, "I wish to know an entire heaven and an entire earth." This inherent right of mankind is the legacy which the whale savers work to pass on to future generations.
The Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you five nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, The Whale Savers, was written by Bruce Martin and produced and directed by Fletcher Markle. Your host was Leonard Nimoy. Our stars were Tommy Cook, Joan McCall, and Drew Boardman. Featured in the cast were Parley Bear, Richard Peel, and Larry Moss. The music for radio theater was composed and conducted by Nelson Riddle. John Harlan speaking. Associate Director of Mutual Radio Theater is Ken McManus. Sound effects were created by Bud Tollefson. Mark Trella is production supervisor. Recording engineer, Hal McDonald. Music editor, Lee Ringette. The Elliott Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CBI.
This is Lorne Greene. Listen in on Monday for another story about the West, as it was then, as it is now. We'll